for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 6th, 1981. Labor Day weekend, deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Alton Rolleg is the speaker of the evening.
Father, your word says that first of all, remember those in authority over you. Tonight we come and bring this nation in remembrance before you. Those who are in authority over us, Brother Reagan and all of these cabinet members, the Vice President, the Congress, the Senate, the judicial body, the Pentagon, all of those in authority over us in this nation, clear down to the local government of the county. Father, we ask that you move by your Spirit through this land. Move by your Spirit upon the hearts and lives of your people and help us, Lord, to bend our knee and cry out unto thee and confess our sins. For your word says that if we confess our sins, that you'll hear from heaven and heal our land. And Father, we call on the name of the Lord this night and we confess that we are a sinful people and a sinful nation. We ask that the blood of the Lord Jesus would flow and move and bring the convicting power of the living God over this your people, as first of all, and then the unsaved, O God, that we may turn from our wicked ways and you may heal our land. Tonight, O God, we lift up our president. We thank you for his stand and his understanding of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of the Lord. We thank you for those, Lord, who are his advisors and in his cabinet who are full of the Holy Ghost, men led of the power of the living God to stand forth and do stand forth and witness and declare that Jesus is Lord and are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Brother Watt, Lord. Bless the generals. Bless Herb Ellingwood, Lord. Bless Brother Johnson. Bless those, Lord, that we know in the White House that are full of the Holy Ghost and to stand forth and proclaim that Jesus is Lord of their lives and that he's their wisdom and their guidance and their direction. Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for the mighty outpouring of the Spirit of the living God that's coming forth in this land. And we thank you, Lord, for renewing of the presence of the living God in government in this nation. And we stand forth today and bind the powers of Satan. We pull down his strongholds over this land and over the capital of Washington, D.C. And we put underfoot the powers and principalities of Satan. We bind up the power of the Illuminati and the power of Antichrist. And we loose the divine power and the Spirit of the living God to flow and to move in this nation and in this land for the glory of the Lord. We proclaim it to be so because we speak it forth in the power and of the living God and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we proclaim that we shall see the name of the Lord proclaimed from the top, from the highest point to the lowest. For Jesus is Lord, and he came to set the captives free, and we declare it to be so today. Father, I thank you for this burden that you've laid on these people here tonight and the finances of this campground. I thank you for the privilege we've had, Lord, of ministering to them through us and the ministers that you sent to minister over these days. We thank you for your blessing and anointing to go with them, and may the desires of their heart be met. We bring their families to remembrance, their children and their grandchildren, Lord. Moved by your Spirit, send the power and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to bring salvation and deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Satan shall be bound up, the captive shall be set free, the curses shall be broken and lifted, and we shall walk forth in victory and life to stand forth to be a witness to the world that Jesus is a reality in our hearts and lives. The Father, I bring these finances that these people have given in a pledge, that bring them as an offering unto thee through Jesus our High Priest. And I present it as an offering on the altar before you, God, as a sweet savor in your nostrils. And then as it comes back and I become the steward and responsible of it, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom and understanding and knowledge in the disbursement of it. I thank you for multiplying it to meet every need. And Father, I thank you, Lord, as I take it of it and I become the responsible of it, I bind it to the kingdom of the living God for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that it shall be used for nothing except that purpose and the necessities of life of whosoever it goes through, that they shall not be able to waste or squander or use it on things that are not profitable, but it shall be used for that cause until the day come when you, in reality, shall become King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Father bless these thy people tonight. Anoint Brother Alton as he comes to minister the word of the Lord. May it flow forth with an unction and power of the Holy Ghost. May we move forth in a new revelation of your word tonight, and we may step forth for the glory of the living God to shine forth in our lives and all that we come in contact with, that they may know that Jesus lives and reigns in us and on the earth forever. for his glory. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Alton. We appreciate Brother Alton being here, ministering. We appreciate Brother Drew Roos being here and ministering. The word of the Lord just flowed forth through them, and the blessing of the Lord that's been here and rested upon this place. We praise the Lord for it.
This is by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Where is the oil? Brother Glenn, Sister Irma, would you come up here? I feel like in my spirit that the message brought forth this afternoon and the one that's about to come forth right now is the highlights of this camp meeting. I believe it's from the Lord. And right now we anoint and we agree. We anoint our brother that this be brought forth. Not from Brother Alton, but from the Holy Spirit of God through Brother Alton. And we bless our brother. And we come against any powers and principalities that would try and disturb his thinking pattern or mess this sermon up in any way. We send all curses back. We're in agreement that this is going to be strictly from the Word of God. And it'll be strictly by the voice of Almighty God as spoken through our brother. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, this is all the Holy Ghost. You aren't going to believe this. I wasn't here this afternoon. I was up praying. But this, what I'm talking tonight, is going to fall right in with what he presented before today. And we never even talked about it. Praise the Lord. In 1977, at that time I belonged to the American Lutheran Church, went to church just about every Sunday. I was even a Gideon. But I was not a Christian. And I was invited by the United States government to be one of the first businessmen to go to Cuba after the revolution. And I was invited into the home of Fidel Castro and spent the night partying with him and all his dignitaries. Met every cabinet member and their wives and celebrated with them all. Remember, I was very religious Lutheran, but I wasn't born again. I knew a lot about Martin Luther, but I didn't know anything about Jesus. And as I left Cuba, he gave me a doll for my daughter. And I asked one of his aides, what is it? And he said, it's a fertility doll. Well, being a Lutheran, we didn't know. An average Lutheran today does not know. Now, the average Lutheran does not know there's a devil. They think there's an evil force, but that's about the extent of it. They're so polite to the devil, they don't even mention him. They sometimes will say the evil one. They pet him with such reverence. That's right. In my country, anyway, I'm speaking of the denomination I was in. So I didn't know anything about witchcraft or the occult or anything, nothing. When I heard the name demon, I thought it was a Dodge car. Well, I found out what it was, I'll tell you that. My daughter did not receive this gift, and I had carpenters come into my office and build real fancy. I've got a nice office, the Lord bless you, with, and I had carpenters come in and build for the whiskey bottles, the baseballs, the pictures with the senators and representatives and of the State Department. But I didn't, when the carpenters built it, I didn't put in a place for the whiskey bottles or for the doll, because I thought my daughter would take it. But she didn't want it. And I was full of pride because I didn't know Jesus, so I wanted the whole world to see what I'd brought back. And so I put that thing up here on top. Well, it wasn't long before I become sick. And ended up in a hospital. Some of you might think this is a joke tonight, but someday your eyes will be open and you'll find out we have a real enemy. And you'll find out that name of Jesus has got all power over that enemy. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a difference between religion and Christianity. I lived in religion, but now I'm in Christianity, in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, while I'm in this hospital, then I called my daughter and I had her take me to a hospital because my nerves were just falling apart. I'd never had an experience like this. I was jittering inside, just a cup of trembling. And while I was there, I picked up a book, and it said, The Glory of Man is Passing. And in this book, there was a question. If you died today, how many people will remember you 50 years from now, 25 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, or 1 year from now? And the statistics that they had with this question was said that most of us, if we died today, hardly anybody would remember us after 1 year. In 30 days, they'd probate our estate, and 1 year from now, they'd remember us on a birthday or anniversary or Christmas or etc. And I thought, my goodness, here I was trying to build an empire, and And if I died, I remember I was so crude, I said, if I cooked tonight, they wouldn't remember me a year from now. And a nurse walked in about that time, and she said, Mister, what are you doing? And I said, look at here. It said, if we died tonight, nobody would remember us, hardly anybody, after 1 year. And just like that, I looked at her, and I said, lady, are you a Christian? And she said, of course I am. And she said, I'm a Presbyterian, or Methodist, I don't remember which, but one of those. And she said, I go to church every Sunday, and I sing in the choir. So I looked at her again, I said, yeah, but lady, now if you drop dead right now, can you tell me if you're going to go to heaven or hell? She looked at me, she says, oh, it's just two of us. I'm in church a lot, too. I don't know what happened if I died tonight. Pretty soon another one came in, a nurse came in, and she said, mister, what are you people doing? And so I asked her the same two questions. If you die, are you a Christian? She said, yes, she was. If you die tonight, can you look me right straight in the eye and tell me, you know, whether you're going to go to heaven or hell? And she didn't either. She was just as... Now, three of us in church a lot, didn't know where we're going. We all knew a lot about Martin Luther, but we didn't know anything about Jesus. And the next morning, a fellow walked into this hospital at Wilmer, Minnesota, from Minneapolis. A Catholic, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, in overalls, walked into this fancy hospital, and he said, he asked for Grandma Smith. I don't remember her name, but I'll say Grandma Smith. And he said, she's in room so-and-so. What do you want to see her about? Well, he said, if I don't get to her and she dies here, she's going to go to hell. I said, wait a minute, mister, you're judging. My pastor said we're never supposed to judge anybody. He said, your pastor might say that, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 5:11-12 says, we are supposed to judge those who are in church, in the family of God. It's the outsiders we don't have no business doing. Man, I said, I got to see that. He showed that to me. And during the course of conversation, he pointed out to me about a barn. Up in our country, we have a lot of barns because it's so cold for the farm animals. And he went on to explain, he said, if you went and sat in a barn, a farmer's barn, for 50 years, will you become a horse? You stayed in there day and night for 50 years. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Well, he says, what makes you think you're a Christian? Because you go to church 1 hour on Sunday once in a while. Boy, that really got to me. So then he pointed out to St. John 3:1-7, in Little Gideon, New Testament. You must be born again. I said, yeah, I thought I heard Billy Graham say that one time. That's right. But I said, how do you do it? He said, it's that thing 1 inch below your nose. He said, it's going to make the difference whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. And I thought, the Lord knows what that's got to do with it. He said, it's your mouth. Mouth? I thought, boy, he's a weird character. Catholic and overall, talking to a guy who was president of a big, large Lutheran church. And a Gideon on top of it. Then he starts to talk like that. Yeah, he said, if you don't use your mouth, confess your sins to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ to come in and be the Lord of your life, he said, you're going to go to hell if you sit in that church day and night forever, as long as you live. So he took me over by a pool table in that fancy hospital and led me to the Lord. About that time, there was a lady kind of nervous listening to this. The demons in her got real nervous, but she said she wanted to hear a little more about it. She was an alcoholic in there for alcohol treatment. And she listened, and pretty soon she got down on her knees and she got saved too. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, I could go on and tell all the miracles that happened, how God led me into where I went to a man who knew deliverance, and I went through a good deliverance. Then the Lord opened my eyes to the Scripture, and from then on, the Lord used me to teach other people how to take authority, and I'm just a layman, just a salesman. And I want to make it real plain and real clear to all of you that I'm here only for one purpose, and that's to serve my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No other reason. No other reason. None. I'm so thankful for that Spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking carpenter in overalls that listened to the Spirit of the living God. When the Holy Ghost said to him, not in a voice, but put an impression in his mind, go to Wilmer, Minnesota tomorrow morning and go to the Rice Memorial Hospital. And he listened to the voice of the Lord. And that's how I'm here tonight. And how I've been used by God to teach and set the captives free. And I could go on for hours and tell stories of miracles that have happened to people who are insane who have been set free because of the teaching that's being taught here. The only place I know that you can come and get a teaching is right here. Get the depth of teaching on deliverance of any place in the world. Any place. Others are ridiculing and say they're demon chasers. But I'm telling you, when they're talking that way, they're serving Satan. They don't know what they're saying. And there's many, I say, may the hand of the Lord be upon them and shut their mouths. Because until men and women raise up with the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to have no victory down here. Because it's got to come through the church. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Normally, I don't use notes. But I've been praying and studying all day, all afternoon since dinner time. And the Holy Ghost said, you need to use notes to keep this in the proper sequence. Because if you pay attention tonight, folks, Pastor, turn to Matthew 15:10. Praise the Lord. You pay attention to this message that God's Holy Spirit gave me. It's not anything on my part. It's what the Spirit of living God gave to me. I'm going to prophesy here tonight. This message is not only going to change your lives if you pay attention here tonight, but it's not going to change the lives of hundreds of people, thousands of people. This message is going to change the lives of millions of people. The Lord showed me millions of people. Because this tape is going to go out around, and it's going to multiply and multiply and be copied and recopied and recopied, because you're going to get light here tonight that you've never heard before, and it's going to be checked with your spirit, because it's given to me by the Spirit of the living God through His Word. Brother, read that, please.
Praise the Lord. And Jesus called to the people, and Jesus called the people to Him and said to them, listen and grasp and comprehend this.
Jesus called the great multitude together, it says in the King James Version. He said to them, hear and understand. Hear and understand. We've heard a lot of things, but we haven't understood it. Matthew 13:19, brother.
The Holy Ghost just gave me that. Praise the Lord.
While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the roadside.
Get that? You hear, we've all been in church where gospel's been read time and time again. But unless somebody's had the ability or the unction of the Holy Ghost to explain it to you so you understand it, you have forgotten it before you got to your car. You ask people when they leave their churches on Sunday morning, when they're out by their automobile, asking what the sermon was about. And they'll, just about every person will say, boy, it was a good one. Yeah, but what did the preacher say? Mama, what did he say? The devil stole it before they ever got to the car. Otherwise, we'd all be wise, because we've heard the gospel. But it hasn't been preached with an anointing. And then the devil has had our eyes and the ears of our understanding so blocked that we could not understand. Praise the name of the Lord. Not all the preacher's fault, it's our fault also, but this is what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. My journey out of darkness into light began to accelerate after my trip to Cuba in 1977. I truly know that I was born again after a man explained to me St. John 3:1-7. I wish you'd all, those of you that haven't got that scripture down, will write it down in the front of your Bible or someplace that you can find it again real easy. Because in the days ahead, see, the Holy Ghost will only react to the Word of God. The Word of God. When you give the people the Word of God, then the Holy Ghost will start quickening it, and their spirits, speaking to their spirits. St. John 3:1-7. And that's when he read, said, Nicodemus came to Jesus after dark and asked Jesus what he must do. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And remember, Nicodemus said, how can a man one more time enter his mother's womb and be born again? Then Jesus went on to explain. He said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he told him one more time, you must be born again. That's got to be the message. There is no other way. Nothing else will work. You must be born again. Well, then he pointed out, and I want to ask this Catholic in overalls how to get born again. He got over it. He said, it's with your own mouth, confession of your own mouth. Brother, I'd like to have you look it up. Romans 10:8-10. And come to the microphone and read it, please. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10.
But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and the object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation.
Get that? It's with the mouth. Believe in your heart, which is your mind, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Nothing else is going to work. Not long ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was praying and said I'd soon be in China. And when God speaks to me, I know that I know that I know I'm going to be in China. But the Holy Ghost said, when I send you to China to teach what you know in the deliverance, there's one thing you must always have before you and be number one, and that's teach salvation first. That's why I mentioned it several times here when I've been speaking. Have altar calls, because you can't teach unbelievers anything. The biggest and greatest miracle of all is our salvation. And so that's where, wherever you go, people, you that go out here to teach, remember, that's got to be number one. Praise the Lord. Well, this was a great step forward for me and for my family. Then coming into the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, asking Jesus to baptize me with the Holy Ghost, well, what followed was a deep desire to read the Bible. See, I thought that I got the Holy Ghost when I got born again, because that's what so many teach. And they just about had me convinced. Till one day, the man opened up Acts 19, chapter of Acts, and 2, 3, 4, and from 2 to 5, the verses. And how they came and they found those that believed, and they asked him, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Then they went on to explain that to them. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they laid hands on them, and they become filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy and speak in tongues. Well, I decided to follow the Scripture rather than opinions of men. Started out pretty good and having success. And a deep desire to study the Word of God. From no reading of the Bible, I had never read the Bible. I never studied the Bible at all since my confirmation days, and that wasn't very much. Even a Gideon, now remember, a Gideon gave many a presentation in many a church. We took Bibles into prisons and into schools. But if you'd asked me where Titus was, I wouldn't have known if it's in the Old and New Testament. And since I got saved and been in churches, and the pastors of some churches I've been in, when I've asked them to find it, they couldn't find it either. Then one day, I got into St. John 10:10. Brother, will you please read St. John 10:10?
And may kill and may destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
So I found that, St. John 10:10, in the King James it says the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus is speaking and he says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I also found Acts 10:38.
How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good, and in particular curing all that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil of God, for God was with him.
There the old saints were in church, and they're beautiful people. I love every one of them. Pastor and his wife. That Sunday morning I said, I received some new light. I said, we've been taught all my life, preached that if Mrs. Smith dies of cancer at the age of 30 with two little babies, that God killed her with cancer to teach her husband something or her neighbor something, or et cetera. We were taught that in our insurance policy, it said an act of God if a tornado came or a hailstorm came. But I said, it seems in the scripture it says John 10:10, it says it's the devil. I said, folks, we've been taught something here that's an error. It's the devil that causes the sickness and disease, the tornadoes and the car accidents, the fires and the murders, and puts the thoughts in, and did I get into trouble? Some of the old saints in the church got up. In fact, the head of the ladies' aid, she said, you can't blame the devil for that. And they started to cry because I was blaming the devil for this. The pastor's wife cried because her father died. She said, you mean to tell me that God didn't cause my dad to die? And she put on a pity party there, and I'm telling you, I thought I had really gotten into error. Well, then I pointed to Acts 10:38. And there, read that again, will you please? Acts 10:38, praise the Lord.
How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good, and in particular curing all that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him.
How do you like that? That's the second verse. And I mentioned that, and they got madder yet. Then I found out who their God was. Real quick, see, I just got baptized with the Holy Ghost shortly before that, and started praying in tongues. And when you start praying in tongues, the Spirit of the living God starts to quicken your spirit to the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Opens your eyes to see what it is. As my wife and my oldest daughter and I went to the car, they were just so surprised because my wife had just gotten saved. My daughter wasn't even saved yet, but she's a school teacher, and she thought she could understand what it said. You know, it says it's the devil that causes it. She said, don't take much brains to see that. Hallelujah. That's right. She wasn't even saved. But she could see that just simple language that the devil was the cause of it. Jesus Christ is speaking. Let me ask you this, folks. How many here, and I want you to raise your hands, believe St. John 3:16? Let's see it. If you really mean it, stick them up there so I can see them. Okay, if you believe St. John 3:16, why can't you believe the rest of it? Huh? I mean, if we believe this, I'll throw the whole thing out. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I told you that one of the leaders of the church was the one that got the most hostile. Up until that time, this person had been looked up to as a real wise, the leader of the church, very active in making soap, sewing quilts, lutefisk suppers, rummage sales, mission festivals, and so, and an old school teacher on top of it. And so people thought, well, she kind of really knows what's going on, had it put together. But I used to teach Dale Carnegie, public speaking and sales training. And in the natural, there was a bit of wisdom that I learned in the natural a few years back. It said, write this down because it'll bless you in every, whatever work you're in. It'll bless you. Here's the statement. Asking questions always exposes flaws in thinking. Asking questions always exposes flaws in thinking. Doesn't make any difference what kind of business you're in. Think about that. You can locate people real quick by asking questions. Asking questions. But we in our church equated Christianity with works. Now, all real nice people, I mean, they're beautiful people. I love everyone, but I'm just telling you, where I'm coming from to lay a foundation to where we're going. We become more and more aware of the spirit world. More and more. After you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, many of you can understand this. You become more aware of what is causing people to act the way they do and why we act the way we do. One day, a Baptist friend of mine came to my office. He'd come and study Bible with me, and he had won some people to the Lord. And he said, my house is small. He asked if it was possible that he could bring some people over to my house and to teach the people some more about the Word of God before they went back to Minneapolis. Because he said, if they just are baby Christians and go back and don't get some more word into them, the devil will come along and see to it somebody will try and steal their salvation. So I agreed. I said, yes, Will, you can come and use our house. And he invited quite a few people. I didn't realize he was going to invite pretty the whole county. And see, I wasn't too far along in this charismatic movement yet, and all the singing and the peppy things, and we didn't know very much, but we knew some spirit-filled Catholics that really knew the Word of God. So I called them up and to come over and teach us. And my wife, she had everything just so. She had to get certain kind of cake and everything just so, and the table had to be just right underneath the chandeliers. Chairs in a certain place, and she said, I'm going to be sure there's not a bit of dust. I said, these people, I don't think care too much whether there's dust or not. Don't tell me that, she said. Every woman is looking for dust when she goes around. She said, Sonny, you just got an end of that vacuum cleaner and you start vacuuming. So she had me vacuuming. Got everything lined up just right. She told me, when I get in the kitchen and I do like this, that's time for coffee. I went to the bathroom, and all these Catholics come in, and these other spirit-filled tongue talkers. And they said, well, we got to get this room arranged. They grabbed the big table.
Got it over here against the wall, the big chairs. I mean, they moved her all up.
My wife came out of the kitchen and took one look at that living room. She said, you see what those crazy people are doing? Well, it's too late then. But I'm telling you, did we see miracles? Miracles all night long till 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling you, these people knew Jesus, and things started to happen. I mean, miracles, not just a couple, all night long. People didn't want, at 2 o'clock, they didn't want to go home. So, I smelled the coffee, my wife, and nobody wanted any lunch. They went home about 2 or 2:15, and there it was. A few cookies had gone, a little coffee. The banana cake and the rest of the stuff was still there. But I come into a new light. But the next morning, then some of these guys got so excited, they said, we never seen anything like that. Can we join you? Now listen now, the company goes home at 2 o'clock. We got so fanatical, we would meet some of us businessmen in my office at 4 o'clock every morning, except Sunday morning. We met, and I'm not trying to glorify me, I'm just telling you what happens when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God comes on you, and God puts his hand on you, and he's going to use you for something. Praise the Lord. We got there at 4 o'clock every morning. We'd study the Bible and pray in the Spirit till about 8 o'clock. Then the guys would go to work. Then we'd have dinner together. Can you imagine that? They'd bring their hamburgers or hot dogs, and we'd be studying the Word of God. And then at 5 o'clock, they'd come back to my office again, and we'd stay from 5 till 6 or 7, go home and have meals, and then get together and praise the Lord to midnight. This went on day and night for months. Angels came into my office. I'm telling you, I could tell you stories that would curl your hair. Praise the Lord. Miracles. 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 Then one day at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, the Holy Ghost told me about a lady that had cancer. And not in an audible voice, but right in my mind, said, go out there and command that spirit of death and cancer to come out of that woman in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, send somebody else. Send somebody else. Send the preachers. No, I'm going to send you. And I begged and pleaded. I locked my office door, got down on my knees, and I said, God, send somebody else. I don't know how to do it. He said, St. Mark 16:15-20 says, these signs are going to follow those who believe, not the doubters. There's too many daughters. He said, you're starting to believe. You got to go out and do these things. But see, I didn't have the courage to go that night. Got back early the next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're studying the Bible, and the other guys go to work at 8. I stay and study the Word and pray in tongues. Most Saturdays, I spent in my office studying. Then the Holy Ghost came on me again and said, go. And I said, Lord, they're going to think I'm crazy. The communities don't think too highly of me anyway right now. They said the biggest crook in town, now he's running around carrying Bibles. So I said, I remember reading Hebrews 1:14. That's right, that's what they call me. I'm not pussyfooting around, it's just the way. And so I remember seeing in Hebrews 1:14, I think it is, it says, aren't the ministering angels to go out and minister for those who are heirs of salvation? So I asked, I said, Father, I don't even know how to pray about this, but send angels out ahead to warn these people that I'm coming. And prepare them so they don't call the sheriff when they get there. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, I got there, and being I'd been a Gideon, they let me in the house. And anyway, they, you know, the Holy Ghost tell me to tell the story. This is not in here, but it's for somebody here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the husband met me at the door, and I introduced myself. He said, yeah, come on in. He said, my wife's in the living room. And I come in, and this is real cold weather. She said, take your coat off and lay it on the Davenport. She was in a hospital bed laying just like her head over that way. And I sat down, and about that time a girl came out of one of the bedrooms, a ranch-type house. A girl about 22 years old came out, and she starts to cry. And she goes back in the bedroom and comes back with another one about 20 years old. And there's two of them crying. Go back and come back and get another one. There's about 17-year-olds, and there's three of them. Tears running down like everything, and I'm wondering what I've done wrong. About that time, the telephone rings. And Mother has an extension by her bed, and she picks it up, and she says, yeah, okay, we'll do that. All right, okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And she put it down, and one of the three girls said, who's that? That's your sister in Denver, Colorado, calling and says, keep this man's prayer. 700 miles away, the Holy Ghost informed her that somebody was praying for her mother. They set up the tape recorder. And about that time, and I said, now, folks, I knew this Lutheran's beautiful people. I said, I'm going to pray in tongues, and it might make you kind of nervous, but I got to do what the Lord has shown me. This is the only way to have power against the devil. And I said, the devil's trying to kill his mama here. Yeah, they said, we heard about that stuff. They didn't get a bit nervous. I was standing right by the bed, and a dog barked. Here comes the public health nurse. See, Mother's stomach had already busted from cancer. You could smell the odor of cancer. Many of you know what it smells like. And she, and I said, who's that? And he said, it's the public health nurse. She's coming to bind up the wounds of Mama. And, well, tell her to come back some other time. And he said, can you come back some other time? No, she said, I got a schedule. I got to do it now. And the Holy Ghost said, let her see the power in the name of Jesus. Young lady, get at the end of the bed. Just like that. Spirit of God moved on her. You're going to see something happen. Now listen, this is the first time Lutheran walks in and I yelled at the devil. I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to release this woman. And you spirit of death and cancer, come out of her in the name of Jesus. You know what happened? Demons started hollering through her mouth. But the Holy Ghost had everybody calm, including myself. Nobody got scared. Except the health nurse thought it was a little unusual. And I touched the lady on the forehead, and she got slain in the spirit. I didn't even know, you know, hardly what happened. And then she thought she died. So she asked her husband, she said, is there a telephone around another room? And, yeah, there's one in the bedroom. So she's out there trying to call a doctor, and I can hear her trying. She's got to get a doctor. This lady's dead out here. But I just had such peace. Anyway, the husband made coffee, and about that time, the mother soon came out of the spirit. And the Holy Ghost moved on that family. And there was an old Holy Ghost revival, I'm telling you, right in that home. The Spirit of God moved. Now, I didn't do much, but the Lord used me with the little light that I had. He's going to use a lot of you with the light that you're going to receive, that you're receiving here and that you're receiving here and there around. And you use that light you got, and the miracle will start. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, that was what launched me on this. And I've never been the same since. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just tell me, become aware of the spirit world. I found out how real it was. Okay, now getting back to the people came back to my office. At 4 o'clock in the morning, those that went home, they took their wives and kids home. These guys got so excited after seeing the Catholics doing all the miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
They came back to my office at 4 o'clock in the morning. Took their wife and kids home and come right back. Left at 2 or 2:15 and back at 4 o'clock. And we're, praise the Lord, and I'm having a... We're just having a great time. Rehearsing like Peter used to tell. Remember? Peter used to go and say, well, we're rehearsing what happened yesterday in the 10th chapter of Acts. Praise the Lord. So we was rehearsing all these great and mighty things that the Lord had done. And when they left, I got sick. Oh, did I get sick. And I locked my office door. And so the girl was working for me, didn't know what I was doing. I got down on my knees, I'm paying attention. I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me, Lord? I got so terrible sick, I didn't know what in the world or not. I called my Baptist brother, and I said, man, am I sick? He said, you sick? I'm sick. My wife had to go to bed. And just about everybody that was at our place, the devil attacked them because they were receiving new light. Now listen to this. My daughter is a school teacher in Little Falls, Minnesota. She had to go to bed. My daughter works for an insurance company in Cottonwood, Minnesota. She had to go to bed. My son-in-law is in Massachusetts, and the devil hit him, and he had to go to bed. We were all sick and all had to go to bed except my son, and he wasn't saved yet. And the devil didn't bother him any because he had him anyway. Telling you, this thing is real. As we receive light of the Word, we also came in contact with angels of light sent by Satan to deceive the church. And we were such baby Christians, we thought if these men that came out said, praise the Lord and amen, that they were really men of God. Oh, they'd come in and say, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. Didn't have enough sense to check them out in the Word. From one darkness, got into light, and back into darkness again. First came the faith teachers, who always said when you take up when they took up collections, they loved to quote Mark 10:30. Get 100-fold for every dollar you give. And I'd get that Bible out and I'd read Mark 10:30. I want you to look it up now, right now, brother. And I'd say, Lord, I can't see that in there. I can't get the same interpretation as some of these fellows are getting from Mark 10:30. But maybe I'm so dumb I can't understand it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life.
There's a lot more than just giving a buck and getting 100 in return. There was a lot of things that was required to get that 100-fold, but they never told us that. Man, I needed money, because the devil hit my pocketbook real quick. Anybody else had the devil hit your pocketbook after you got saved and told the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. I'll tell you, they took money away from me like taking candy away from a kid. One guy took $32,000 away from me so fast that I didn't know what happened, and the devil took it away from him right after he got it from me. And that was just peanuts compared to what came later, what they took away later. I'll tell you that. And so I started giving and giving. I'd give until I didn't have anything left because these guys were saying, you just give it now and it's going to come back. But it didn't work. They got my money and I didn't have money hardly to buy bread. I'm telling you the truth, folks. I'm just telling you exactly where I come from. Praise the Lord. They would say, praise God, my God supplies all my needs. But I didn't have any luck. Then one day, one guy that would stand up with the glowing testimonies every time an evangelist come along, and this evangelist would take, 15, 20 minutes to tell us to give, the same guy that would get up there and say, praise the Lord, it sure works for me, came along and bought a diesel truck from us. But he never paid us. Hasn't paid us yet. And a few more of those praise the Lorders were the same way. But they'd stand up and give these glowing testimonies. Now, the Word of God is true. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you, folks. Angels of light come when you get the true light. The devil sends the counterfeiters. And there's a lot of them moving around today. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I travel quite a bit. But I'm telling you, of all the places I've been,
My spirit checks with this one. They're not going to get by with it here. And I hope Len and Irma, they never do. And I don't believe it. But this place is following it as close as anybody I have ever met. Praise the Lord. And I'm just telling you just the way I see it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got quite an awakening, I'll tell you. These guys came and told us all kinds of reasons why they couldn't pay. But they came the next testimony meeting and they got up there and said, praise the Lord, my God meets all my needs, and it really works. And I mean, the poor people who didn't have enough grocery money was going in there when they should have had shoe money, was giving it to these guys.
Praise the Lord.
We had more problems in every area of our life. In fact, I would lay awake nights and cry out to God, why are you doing this to me? Any of you have been that way? Wonder, say, Lord, I lay awake, I'd cry, I don't cry. Cry. I mean, I cried. I said, Lord, man, I thought it was going to be easy to serve you. Man. And no matter what I do, it's a failure. Whatever I do, fails. And I'd go back to these guys. I'd get in my car and I'd drive to Minneapolis and I'd try to find a Superman of God. That's right. I did. I'm not kidding you. I'd find the biggest charismatic church, and I got a little boldness, and I'd go right up that preacher. I started asking him what gifts he had of the Holy Ghost and how do they operate. And he'd back up and say, you shouldn't be asking me that. And then I have to think, asking questions always exposes flaws in thinking. And I went from one church to another where I thought they were really supermen, and they didn't even know as much as I knew. Most of them. Most of them. When I said, I think the devil's doing it, they said, oh, no, no, no. If you go around and say, greater is he that's in you than he that's of the world, they can't touch you. I'd get into Assembly of God Church, and I asked them preachers, I'm a member of one, and I'm telling you, I got in there, and they said, no, that bloodline, nothing can come under that bloodline. I said, where's the bloodline? Show me the scripture where it says, when I'm saved, and fill the Holy Ghost, that there's a bloodline that the devil can't come in and take my money or cause any problems for me. They didn't know, but they said they heard it preached. Well, I said, I found out that bloodline ain't working because things are going wrong. I'm telling you. You follow me? Praise the Lord. Brother, turn to 2 Corinthians 11:14. I mentioned earlier about the angels of light. Praise the Lord.
For if I had boasted to him at all concerning you, I was not disappointed or put to shame. But just as everything we ever said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved true also.
Is that right?
No.
2 Corinthians 11:14. Excuse me.
Oh,
11.
I thought you said 7. Excuse me. That's all right. Can't get too much of the scripture anyway, can we? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But this is about angels of light. You might not know that's in the Bible, but you'll find it now. Praise the Lord.
11:14.
Yes.
And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light.
Yeah, keep on.
For such men are false apostles, counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerade as apostles, special messengers of Christ the Messiah.
Get it? Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
There it is. And I've met lots of them. And I'm telling you, they were teaching me to follow them. I got into deception through that. It took me a while to get turned around again. But you know, a guy many of you have heard about here, well, God caused Norval Hayes to come to Wilmer, Minnesota. A businessman from Cleveland, Tennessee. And I started listening to that man, and my spirit checked with what he was saying, and I bought his tapes. In fact, I bought them all. $400 and some worth. They just said they had to get a big box for me to carry them off. But I made up my mind. I was going to fight this thing through and find out what was going on. Praise the Lord. And you will never forget what I'm going to tell you tonight. You will never forget what you're going to learn here tonight. Praise the Lord. Donald Hayes got up there and he said, trust no man. Don't believe anything he says unless he can show you a chapter and verse in the Bible. Chapter and verse. He said it don't make any difference how many dresses and how many gowns and how many crosses. Chapter and verse is what counts.
From that time on, I began to lay aside the books of men with their opinions about the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Holy Ghost and how to hear from God. I mean, I had every book on how to hear from God because I wanted to get the answers real quick. And I mean, I had them all. I don't think there's a book written, folks, of any of the biggies, that, of their opinion, that I don't have. And probably the tapes on top of it, I probably got bought that besides. I found there was a way the great men in both the Old and the New Testament heard from God. And it opened up to me a new hope. And I can speak from experience tonight that the days ahead for all of you are going to be easier than in the past because it is the Word of God. Now, I'm telling you, if you pay attention tonight of what I'm saying, which is by the Spirit of the living God, because it's from His Word, the days ahead for all of you are going to be easier than they have been in the past. They're going to be. We've gone through these valleys because of ignorance and because of angels of light. But we can't look back, but we're going to look ahead. And I'm telling you, the days are going to be easier if you follow this message tonight. Not because of me, I'm nothing, but because of this word that I'm bringing you tonight. One day in my office, after praying for more light, the Holy Spirit of the living God quickened to me Jeremiah 33:3. Just like that, I'm walking, I'm pacing my waiting room. And the Holy Ghost said, you need to look at Jeremiah 33:3.
Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand.
God said, call upon me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things you know it not. Isn't that some promise? Call upon me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things you know it not. Call on me, the Lord said. I was going to men. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things you know it not. Oh, what a revelation. To me it was such a revelation, I just started to float. Praise the Lord. I went to bed by myself early, and I just closed that bedroom door, and I said, Lord God, you said, call upon me. Call upon you, and you would answer me. Father, I'm coming to you on your promise. I got problems. I want to have light so I can help myself and help the rest of the world that's so confused. Show me great and mighty things I know of not. In the name of Jesus. And the revelation started to come, my friend. The revelation started to come. Then the Holy Ghost brought me Job 22:28. Job 22:28. Which was compatible with the teachings of Dale Carnegie, of all the sales training courses in the world, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, setting goals. That's where it came from originally, from the Bible. Setting goals. You find it? Job 22:28.
You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways.
In the King James it says, and you also shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy path. Boy, that's a promise, isn't it? But you have to decree it. You do it. I have to do it. Nobody else can do it for us. We have to decree this thing. We say it's going to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we decree it, God will establish it or fix it. And then His light shall shine upon our ways. He'll bring us light to bring this into reality. And I wrote on a piece of paper my desire. And I will not tell you what all my desires are. And you have many of yours.
But we can write our desires down, and those of those serve the Lord to the best of your ability. If you love God, it says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. That's my addition there. Praise the Lord. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. That's another great promise. I said, Lord, I tell you, search my heart, but I delight myself in you. I delight in your word and what you're doing and showing me. But here are my desires, and I'm writing them down, Lord. Then more light came, how to hear from the Lord by his Spirit. And this is what will be my subject here tonight, and it's going to tie right in with what he spoke here before today. I begin to ponder and meditate, how did the men of God hear and know they were being led by the Holy Ghost? I thought there's got to be a way, because many times I prayed and I thought I had the light, but it was the wrong light. It always was the opposite of what it should have been or what I'd hoped it to be. Any of you had that experience? Prayed for light? Thought it was God giving you light? But it didn't work out. Now, I said, there's got to be a key to this. There's got to be some way to know whether we're being heard, led by God or not. You're going to learn that tonight. Praise the Lord. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost caused me to turn to look and see the real meaning of Acts 13:2. Acts 13:2, become alive for the first time to me.
While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate now me from Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
As they were ministering to the Lord, it says in a lot of your Bibles, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. They were ministering to God and they were fasting, bringing their body under obedience of their spirit. And then the Holy Spirit said. We're going to stop and pray just for a minute. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you give me a greater measure of understanding of the real meaning of this verse. I ask it now and receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. That verse just came alive. It came alive. Praise the Lord. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. Shortly afterwards, a young woman from our church, she's really turned on to the Lord. I've talked to her about, I mentioned her before here, 25-year-old girl that got saved the 22nd day of March, 1981. March 22nd, 1981. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost the next day, baptized in water the Bible way the next day. She said, Father, the devil's led me long enough. I have committed my life to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and I never again compromise ever knowingly of your word. I'm not going to pay no attention to what any man says. Get by myself and pray in tongues, and Holy Spirit, you're going to show me the meaning of what your word is. If that girl was here tonight, she would awe you with her revelation knowledge of the scripture. You would say, this girl must have gone through Bible college for 4 years. I just can't find words to express the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding. But I know how she got it. Total commitment. Studying the word and praying in the spirit. She called me on early one Saturday morning. She called me and she said, are you going to be in your office to study and pray today as you do often? And I said, yes, I plan to go at 8 o'clock in the morning. She said, can I come up there? I just feel I got to come up there and I just want to meditate with you. I said, fine. And she came up, and as soon as she got into my office, she suggested that we pray in the spirit, in tongues, until we enter into the holiest of holies. This young girl walked in. She said, let's just pray in the spirit. She said, just let's keep on till we enter up in. I was with a bunch of spirit-filled Catholic priests one time, and I'm telling you, they entered in, up into the holiest of holies. Then the mighty power of the Lord came down. So we started in. I said, yeah, I my spirit checks. We started in praying in tongues. Just like everything, for about an hour. And all of a sudden she said, the Lord is speaking to me, Elvin. The Lord said that I'm supposed to start a fast. And her name is Cindy. And I said, Cindy, just before you open your mouth, the Holy Ghost told me, you got to start fasting. The same thing. We got that from the Spirit of Truth in St. John 16:13, brother.
Praise the Lord. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that ought to come that will happen in the future.
The Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth. Well, I'm going to speed up a little because it's getting kind of warm here, I see. But then it came an impression. After it prayed a little longer, and a strong impression came to open our Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter, starting with the first verse. And there it says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to the Lord, which is your spiritual service of worship. Who? It said you and I. Well, I realized my body was overweight and was not pleasing to the Lord. And that I better start bringing my body as well as my mind into subjection to my spirit. And we studied that and meditated on that quite a while. And then that very day we asked the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and words. And we made a 6-hour study on fasting. And we checked in the Bible, and what were the results in the Bible? What happened when people started to fast in the biblical days, both in the Old and the New Testament? In the New Testament, it appears to me that it's a command from God. Matthew 9:15.
And Jesus replied to them, can the wedding guests mourn while the bridegroom is still with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in that day.
They will fast. They will fast. They will fast. Boy, that just hit us. They will fast. Now, this might not be an exciting presentation like some of the others you heard, but there's meat here and meaning that if you follow what this scripture says, you'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. Sometimes we have to get into things that are kind of serious, maybe not always as exciting, but it's going to pay dividends like you can't comprehend right now. Some of you just think, this is kind of dry. But I'm going to tell you, you go home and you meditate on this, and the Holy Ghost is going to open up your eyes. You're going to have blessings, folks, if you follow this, that you cannot comprehend tonight, I'll guarantee you. Because God's Word, it says in Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. God can't lie. Now I'm going to go a little faster yet, probably. Over in Esther, the 4th chapter, sometime you read how the queen learns of Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. That's in the book of Esther, the 4th chapter, and the 3rd verse. He had connived and plotted and gotten ordinances passed to destroy the Jews. Haman had. To destroy the whole Jewish race, including the queen, because she was a Jew. And she found out about this. And in the 4th chapter of the 16th verse, she called for a 3-day fast. She called the eunuchs and her maids and the people that served her. And she said, all of you, will you all fast for 3 days with me? Because she couldn't even go to the king. You know, the queen could not go to the king. She could not go there. Because if she went there and he wasn't in the right mood and didn't put out that golden sepulcher for her to touch, she'd be put to death. Nobody got to the king unless he wanted him to come, including the queen. So she said she would fast, and then she would go to the king and she would suffer the consequences. If And after she fasted, she came to the king. The king, when he saw Queen Esther, he comes and said, Queen Esther, what is it that you want? I will give up you half of the kingdom. So think, he met her, handed out the golden sepulcher, and she touched it. And he said, I'll give you, Queen Esther, your request up to half of the kingdom. You read that chapter and on through to the end, and you'll find out what happened to Haman. He had already had the gallows built 75 feet high. He hung in the gallows that he had planned to use to destroy the Jews because she fasted and called a fast, and the power of the Almighty came down and turned an impossible situation and won the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Impossible situations in your life, folks. If you do what's in the Scripture, you're going to turn around. God will turn around. The Spirit of the Mighty, the Living Lord, the Spirit of the Living God will come down and intercede and turn these situations around. We did this. We prayed in the Spirit some more and said, Holy Spirit, tell us how long we're going to fast. We're going to take this first fast together to reinforce each other. And we fasted for 10 days. I had more miracles. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, showed me things to do that was absolutely 100%. I didn't even have to ask God for things. All of a sudden, I was shaving, and the Holy Ghost said, do this, invest in this, and it's going to work. I knew immediately it was the Spirit of the Living God speaking to me. And it worked. This little girl has had so many blessings, she says, I can't understand it. How God had just intervened and caused all kinds of things to come into her. She wanted a car. She got the car. She's got a good job. She's just getting blessed and blessed and blessed and never. And a lot of these things she never even asked for. But because there's an act of obedience and God knew the desires of her heart. Then we got over into Daniel, the 10th chapter. Brother, turn to Daniel, the 10th chapter, read from the 11th to the 14th verse, please. Praise the Lord. While he's looking at him, Daniel was a man of God. He had had much victory with the Lord. But there came a time when he could not get an answer to prayer. Find out what he did. Praise the Lord.
And behold, a hand touched me, which set me unsteadily upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And the angel said to me, O Daniel, you greatly beloved man, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for to you I am now sent. And while he was saying this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you will set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in consequence of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. But Michael, one of the chiefs of the celestial princes, came to help me, and I remained, was not needed there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to you, I have come to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days. For the vision is for many days yet to come.
See that? Right away after I started having victory, I got so excited that in my day book, and wherever I'd put my eyes, I wrote this on cards and put on mirrors. Daniel 10, where it says, For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your Lord, your words were heard, and I have come to receive your words. But see, the devil will stop. The devil and the principalities and powers will stop the answers to your prayers the further you come along in the service, in the light and awareness of the Word of God. You get into bigger spiritual battles. And you then have to have more power. And this is where this comes in. And it cannot fail. It didn't fail then. And it's not going to fail now. It cannot fail. It is the key to getting answers to your prayers. Then the Holy Ghost brought me over to Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. I'd like to have you read that too.
And then I'm going to just pick out a couple of verses. We're coming in now to landing here. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 58. Many people, even spiritual people, they get into Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and they get in that third verse, and they get all followed up about fasting. They just haven't got the light on it. But you're going to receive more light now on it. Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. Praise the Lord.
Rather, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke? Is this not to divide your bread with the hunger, with the hungry, and bring the homeless and poor into your house? When you see the naked, and you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and your own blood, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of the new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to the peace and prosperity, and to the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away from your midst the yokes of oppression, wherever you find them, the finger pointing to the scorn, toward the oppressed or the godly, and even in every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. And if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your obscurity and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually, and satisfy you in drought and in dry places, and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruin shall be rebuilt. And you shall raise up from the foundations of the buildings to that laid waste for many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, and restorer of the streets to dwell in.
You see that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's right there in God's Word. God said, it says in Titus 1:2, God can't lie. The ninth verse. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, Here I am. And the Lord will continually guide you. And the Lord will continually guide you. Wouldn't you like to have the Lord continually guide you? Wouldn't you like to have the Lord... When you cry out and have him say, Here I am. Folks, I tell you, I have been so blessed. I have been so blessed, and I've talked to other men that have known this, but they've kept it to themselves. And I'm telling you, folks, I don't care how impossible your situation is here tonight. There is none. There is not one single, but no matter how impossible it may look to you in the natural, if you will humble yourself before God and ask the Holy Ghost to guide you and tell you how long to fast and give you the strength to fast. You know, one time I looked, I thought, well, boy, this thing is kind of tough after about the fourth day. And then I found Matthew 6:16, and it says, You shall anoint your head with oil and wash your face. Sounded kind of, you know, what's that going to do? Folks, you anoint your head with oil, and the Spirit of God comes, and I'm telling you, it's a snap. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It gives you strength. Well, I've gone sometimes 14 days, but 9 and 10 days, I'm telling you, I got so peppy that the ninth day, I said to my wife I was going to go to bed. I got so peppy, I said, I got to put on my shoes, and I run around the school park after 9 days without anything but water. Because the anointing of God, when you do this, the Spirit of the living God will give you the strength to do it. Will give you the strength. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then, now many of you are sitting here, I know that many of you have been wondering, do I pray to God to get the Holy Ghost to give me advice? Do I pray to Jesus? Oh, we've heard so many different theories on how you're going to get a revelation from the Holy Ghost. Many of you here will pray 3-4 different ways. I want to know. Do I talk to God about this? Or do I talk to Jesus about this? How many of you? Put your hands up. I've been wondering many times. Come on, I know it's every one of you. Praise the Lord. You wondered. You wondered. After I fast, the Holy Ghost said, spoke to me just as clear in my spirit. Said, you've been praying and wondering and doubting and wondering and trying to find out the right way. He said, you've got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is in you. You don't do any praying. You just say, Holy Spirit, you know all things. You receive it from Jesus, it said in St. John 16:13. What should I do about this situation? It went so fast. Praise the Lord. I'm going to end this. Here's how I pray, just to give you an idea. And about fasting, there's no hard fast rule in the Bible about fasting. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Daniel for 21 days. Many of them were 3-day fasts. Some days were partial fasts. Some didn't eat certain kind of food. They just ate the essentials. So you pray. You ask the Holy Spirit what you should do, how long you should do it, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Here's my prayer, and it works for me. And you pray, you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Here's the way I do it. I said, Lord God, here's my problem. I don't know what to do, but I trust your word, and I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to my spirit as I set my will and mind to hear from you by prayer and fasting. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus, so shall it be. Amen. And I'm telling you, folks, it works. It works. It works. One more time, I say to you, you believe St. John 3:16. If you believe St. John 3:16, you should be able to believe what I've just been sharing with you tonight. It's that simple. Titus 1:2 says, God can't lie. His word will never fail. It's just up to us to follow it. Let's pray. Everybody stand. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank and praise you now that you are showing us by your Spirit that there is an easier way, that you have a way, there is a recipe to follow. Lord God, if we would just humble ourselves before you. Father, I just thank you for this revelation, and I just thank you how you blessed me and blessed so many others that I know that are doing it. Lord God, I just praise and thank you now that your Spirit is meeting the needs of these people, that it's going right into their spirits, that these words, your eternal word, is going in so they'll never forget this. Lord God, and next time a problem arises, and they pray, and they pray, and they plead, and they beg, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit quicken to their minds your word, your eternal word, to give them victory in their life. Oh, Father, we just praise and thank you that you said heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. Shall never pass away. Father, I ask that you bless every single person here tonight. You just shower them with revelation knowledge of this, your word. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Amen.
People, I want you to know something. On my word of honor as a Christian brother, this brother and I have not conversed whatsoever. And from two different parts of the country, the Holy Spirit has brought the same knowledge. I know those that were here this evening realize that what I said is this is just being confirmed and added to. And we need to thank Almighty God. Now we can put it into action. And if you want, for those that have come to me and said, what can I do? What can I do? And I've heard this from many of you. I've got this problem. My daughter's over here. And what can I do? Here's an answer. Here's an answer. Ask Almighty God, Holy Spirit of God, Lord, I'm calling a fast for this problem. How long would you like me to fast, Lord? He'll tell you. And then go into the fast, and when it gets difficult, when it starts getting difficult, wash your face, anoint it with oil, anoint your head with oil, and go on. And he'll strengthen you. And your problems, you're going to see the miracles. This is from the Holy Spirit of God, and I feel in my spirit that many of you don't realize the importance of what was brought forth. I'm so excited, I can't wait to try. Oh, praise God. It's so important. It's so important. Let's just thank God, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this different insight into this revelation, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We lift you up. We magnify your name. Lord, you the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We praise you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit says, have an altar call. Praise the Lord.
The Holy Ghost, as I sat down here, said, don't close without having an altar call. If there's anybody here tonight that was like I was when I was in that hospital and the cassock and overalls walked in, that you can't look up here and look at me right now and say that if I drop dead right here tonight, that you don't know for sure whether you're in heaven or hell, or going to heaven or hell, that you're not sure. If you say, like Hubert Humphrey said, just before he died, a man asked him, do you know where you're going? He said, I don't know, but I hope I'm going up there. If you hope you're going up there, you're not going there. As soon as you get Jesus Christ in your heart, you'll know where you're going. And I'm not saying that Hubert Humphrey didn't accept Jesus. From what I heard, I think maybe he did. But I'm just saying, he answered, he said, I sure hope so. I'll just use that as an illustration. Now, if there's anybody in doubt tonight, don't worry about the neighbor, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, your wife, or your kids. Come forward right now. Come forward. If there's any doubt in your mind, come forward right now. And God will meet your needs tonight. Come forward right now. Come forward right now, and we'll pray with you. Let's sing, just as I am. Now, I'm not a song leader, but some of you... That's such a beautiful song. Praise the Lord.
As I am without one plea,
this is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.